in the course of the 75 editions of the show here, because we have a nationally oriented focus, we don't often have a chance to get guests that come into studio. The exception was a couple weeks ago, Tom Wilson, new friend of the show, Ziggy cartoonist, who was nice enough to be here and who I understand may be back either next week or potentially the week after. But the other guests that we've had over the course of time generally have been calling in from wherever. But we have somebody who just happens to be in the Cleveland market who we wanted to have on tonight because there's some really kind of special things going on here. We love to talk about technology on this show. We love to talk about new media. We did an entire new media spotlight show 2 weeks ago when we had on Craig Newmark, founder of Craigslist, and we spotlighted the groups in the 21st Century Media Alliance. Tonight is going to be an interesting chance to take a look at the business of sport and how it is being modernized and really pushed to the forefront by a very innovative organization, that being the Cleveland Cavaliers, now under the ownership of the last couple of years of Dan Gilbert. And Mike Molesky, again, Director of New Media Sales for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So when you look at something like Cavs.com, that's obviously a part of it also, too. But it goes beyond that, with the Cavs having the social networking that has really only been done by very few teams in sports now, CavFanatic.com. All kinds of things that are happening with that. And, Mike, I know that this is right up your alley here. You are in the center of all of this. So it's our pleasure to have you on tonight and get a chance to learn about this and all these initiatives that the team is doing.
Well, thanks, Rick. And it really is a pleasure to be here. Let me certainly say that again. And, boy, you talk about Cavs.com and CavFanatic.com presented by Verizon Wireless, our social network. And really the two things that make those successful are our fans and the amount of time that they spend on our site, and then the team that puts the content online. Because as most of your listeners know, and because they're listening to this show, actually, without great content, you don't have any listeners.
Sure.
And, certainly your record speaks for itself in terms of bringing listeners to the show. At Cavs.com, we're very fortunate to have that as well. And our fans are engaged with our site at several different levels. But without that amazing content, there's no show for them to listen to, and there certainly is no content for them to read.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I understand that one of the areas where you've had success as you've gone along has been with involving the corporate partners in this and getting them to embrace the online elements of this and to incorporate it into their core advertising.
Well, we've been very lucky to have a lot of corporate partners who have been very interested as to what we're doing on Cavs.com and Cav Fanatic. And I would say that, it really comes down to, again, the corporate partners, they want to be where the attention is, and they want to be, at least in a game environment, where the attendees are. So how does that translate to online? They want to be where the Cavalier fans are spending a lot of time. And we're very fortunate that in the internet world, it's very rare that you have time spent on site to exceed 1 minute per page.
Mm-hmm.
You're very lucky here to have that, as people exceed a lot of time online than they would at other sites when they're listening for long terms. You have sites like Google and Yahoo who might deliver billions and billions of impressions. But at the end of the day, if you can deliver your corporate partners a high level of engagement with your fans, and I feel that's what we've done at Cavs.com through great content and through an interactivity that exists at that advertiser level that might not exist in other places. You know, we challenge our team to go beyond the banner in so many instances. We actually had a meeting with a sponsorship guru today who's came in from the league office in New York and talked to us about, the things that we can do as a team to really reach out to our corporate partners and, providing great content online and attracting the listeners to come to Cavs.com and Cav Fanatic on a frequent basis were two of the things that, can make us successful off the court as well as on the court.
Well, yeah, and I can understand that being the case because something that I find to be striking is the fact that, and we talk about this on this show a fair amount, that we're at this kind of weird in-between time now where there's a certain maturity in some sense to some of the internet efforts. The internet's been popular for plus or minus a decade and a half, but yet we're still only at the cusp of some of the things that are still coming here. It's this weird kind of in-between time. It's very striking to me that with the maturity of the internet already and the way that people have been mining it over periods of time for corporate partnerships, sponsorships, et cetera, of what you guys have been able to do, specifically I think you had tripled your online revenue in 2008 from the previous year?
You know, we did. And I think it really goes back to a number of different things, but we're very fortunate, the Cavaliers, to have a management team that is really at the forefront of innovation. Mm-hmm. That's really the methodology by which our ownership built his companies and continues to invest in the Cavaliers. It's about innovation. And, you know, we are really in a position at the Cavs where, with that in mind, we've been able to be really a league leader in how we project ourselves online at Cavs.com and CavFanatic.com. But, you know, it's very interesting that the NBA as a whole, as a league, is very good with what it provides with its online content through its relationship with Turner Sports. Mm-hmm. But on a team-by-team basis, there definitely are a number of teams out there that don't have that content that to really drive repeat viewership from fans and repeat visitors. And you know, to me, that's something that I think a lot of teams have really, you know, because of some of the things that we've been able to bring to the marketplace, a lot of teams within the league have really stepped up in the last several months to say, we're going to provide better content. And in doing so, we would hope to integrate our corporate partners to online messaging. And I think it's also very important to point out, and I think it's also interesting that we're talking about the business of sports on a day in Cleveland sports with the Indians changing a manager and the Browns changing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to note that within our corporate partnership structure, we don't just sell ads online when we talk to our partners. I mean, it really is about connecting that brand with the fan in the arena, with the fan that's listening to Joe Tate on the radio, with the fan that's reading our Tip Off Tonight program. And the same thing really holds true with our Lake Erie Monsters franchise, the AHL team that calls Quicken Loans Arena home. Mm-hmm. It's not just about connecting a brand to a casual hockey fan. It's about really making that brand pop in front of that hockey fan and his family as they come to Dollar Dog Night on a Friday night at Quicken Loans Arena for the Monsters game. So it's things like that really allow our corporate partners really to stand out and to project that brand out upon the audience of the Monsters and the Cavs.
And I think, yeah, I mean, you've obviously been successful in doing that and in reaching the fan at that level. Something you touched upon a little bit, I'd like to expand on that because I think it's where the entire tone gets set here, that being from ownership. And back in, I think it was 05 when Dan Gilbert bought the team, there was this expectation at the time, again, coming in, you know, being a friend of Mark Cuban, who, you know, his technological prowess, you know, is very commonly understood, with Dan Gilbert having incorporated the internet into his mortgage business as successfully as he'd done, there was this expectation he would come in and be this kind of an owner. This is basically just, I think, confirming the expectations of those of us who were observing and kind of projecting ahead as to how it would go. Talk about the tone set by Dan Gilbert and his determination just to try to get the absolute most out of your new media enterprise.
Sure. And I would start by saying that I'm certainly not at the level with the organization where I interact with ownership on a daily basis or anything even remotely close to that.
Sure.
But one thing was very, very clear from day one, and this was about 19 months ago when I started with the team, and that is that you follow the isms that Dan Gilbert brought to the team when he took over. And the isms are just rules that you follow on a day-to-day basis to make sure that, you know, you deliver to every fan, every time, no excuses, no exceptions. And I think that resonates not only with what you see, you know, when the fan comes, has an experience at the arena, but it resonates to what we do online. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of the content being fresh and updated, in terms of our corporate partners getting absolutely the most efficient value for their dollars. I mean, corporate partnerships are something that, you know, a lot of teams are struggling with right now because of the marketplace and the economy. But if you can deliver efficient results to your partners, you have a great chance of retaining that business, and you have a terrific chance of expanding it year after year. But, you know, one of the isms, and I believe there are 19 or 20 of them, and I really hope I'm close on that, but that really stands out to me is simply do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And if we actually have a part of our office that has that sign, says just do the right thing. That's one of the isms. And if you follow that, and with every decision you make, I don't see how you can go wrong. So that's the culture over there. You just take that extra step, do the right thing, and at the end of the day, you'll live with the results every time.
Mm-hmm. And these are things I've heard about this in a similar way. Good friend of the show, our friend Bob Glassman, with his Labrometer.com website, he actually was privileged to go back in the spring to one of Dan's... I don't know what you would call it, but not necessarily lecture, but something along those lines that he gives to the business folks, and the chance to interact and learn from him. And Bob just said it was, you know, an incredibly enlightening experience just to be able to pick this up and to hear his way of thinking and looking at things. And it's clear that it just kind of dribbles down through the organization here with you guys just internalizing all this.
It really does. And I've had the chance to watch the ISM speech, mm-hmm. Is what we would refer to it as, probably four or five times. Mm-hmm. And I think I pick up something new every time. And it's delivered in such a manner that it's very serious in terms of the tone and what you need to be to do to be a success in business. But at the same time, there are those moments of levity within it that really mm-hmm. teach a lesson. Okay. As we sit here now, I'm envisioning some of the slides mm-hmm. that are sometimes brought out when I have watched the ISM speech. And I think, sure, you get the chuckle out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the lesson that you take away from it. And I think most of the people that watch that really take away a good lesson.
Oh, yeah. And again, he is somebody, you know, with his business savvy and with his interest in pursuing different things here. I understand that led to some of the developments that have happened in the last year or two with the ticketing system. The fact that you guys have done some things with paperless ticketing and kind of been a pioneer in sports with that. And I understand from what you told me off air, there are some further developments that you guys are working on with the ticketing process.
Certainly. Actually, Cavalier single game tickets will go on sale on Saturday, okay. October the 3rd. But I think it's important for, as this change takes place really in the back room, that in front of the consumer, it's very seamless. And we have a 1-888-894-9424 number that you can get tickets to any Quicken Loans Arena event through. You can get tickets in person at the Quicken Loans Arena box office, and then online at theqarena.com. So those are the ways that you'll be able to get your tickets. And really, for the consumer, you know, we're hoping that this transition from Ticketmaster to the Veritix platform is one that is seamless. And I know that, you know, behind the scenes, an awful lot of people have put in an awful lot of effort to make sure that happens. And I feel very comfortable that it will.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it obviously takes a lot of work for any type of innovative process such as this. It's very interesting because we were talking about a number of things that relate to the core website, and essentially every team in the league's got one. It's just a matter of what you do with it. You guys have really tricked yours out to a large extent and done a lot. What I want to talk about and explore a little bit also, too, because it's way outside the box, what you guys have done with CavFanatic.com, your own social network, to basically set up something akin to, whether it be Facebook or anything like that, that's just centered around the Cavaliers, a chance for people to interact with one another, a social universe. I mean, you guys have really taken the internet experience to a whole nother level with this parallel effort that you have.
You know, Rick, Cav Fanatic, which we are fortunate to have Verizon Wireless as the presenting mm-hmm. partner on, has just over 15,000 profiles, just wow. about 15,200 members on it. And these are the most diehard Cavalier fans. On average, when they come to the site, they're spending more than 10 minutes online. And that's something that we're very fortunate to have so that we can really present this Cav Fanatic universe to our corporate partners. But these are the people that are part of that site and engaged at a very high level are the people that are in the team shop. They're the people that are, you know, we have a season ticket program for our Cav Fanatics. Mm-hmm. You know, they're also the people that are coming to the pregame parties. In fact, couple of great stories. Last year, we launched Cav Fanatic on, I think it was May 14th, 2008. Mm-hmm. And we really picked up a little bit of momentum in last offseason. But with a 66-16 record that took place last year, we were very fortunate to have thousands of people joining every month. And we had a number of different events. Like, we had Cav Fanatic Nights. Mm-hmm. So what we would do is we would have a member of our front office come down, and a Cav Fanatic could buy a ticket to the game, get a little prize pack, and it was a $25 or $35 price point. They'd come to our practice court at the facility at Quicken Loans Arena and would be able to really be in that room, interact with other Cavalier fans that were also Cav Fanatics. We'd have a member of the front office come down and take questions from them. It was really the virtual space becoming the reality space. And, the first time we did that, we had well over 200 people at the event. And so here it is, at the time we probably had 8,000 or 9,000 profiles. So here we were in a position where we had, a good number of our Cav Fanatics were actually, at the arena experiencing, the game firsthand. They were getting to meet each other in many cases for the first time. And that led us to have two other Cav Fanatic nights during the season last year. And each time we had about 200 people. So, again, it's taking that virtual space, making it reality, and we're able to, I think it makes the team look great to be able to reach out to the fans like that. But also, we're in a position where we can present our corporate partners with opportunities to reach those fans on a very intimate basis. And these are opportunities that are few and far between, especially, as I said, when you really to find out that the fans are spending in excess of 10 minutes per visit on the site is really astounding.
That really is, yeah. I mean, to get the eyeballs on there for a period of time, any of us that have dealt with new media understand the challenges inherent in that. By the way, and before I ask the next question here, I want to send a belated shout out, and I apologize for not having remembered to mention this previously. For the third week in a row, and I guess this is going to be the case going forward here, the show is being live-blogged again tonight by our fellow member of the 21st Century Media Alliance, Googling at Lee Hammacher. So at googlingatleehammacher.blogspot.com, check it out. Ryan's making some comments on here. Platinum Smalls hosting this chat as per usual. I should mention also, too, that with the interactive nature of this, there have been some links going up about Cav Fanatic, not least of which some photo galleries here illustrating some of the things that you were talking about, Mike. And it's very interesting because, in a way, I love to always look at things from a historical perspective. I mean, if you go back over the decades, I mean, teams have had at various levels, booster clubs, or obviously it's season ticket bases in some instances, but fan clubs, perhaps anything like that. What you've managed to do is basically crystallize all of this and present it in an ultra modern form for being able to reach out to these people in the most direct way possible.
No doubt about it, Rick. And before I jump on that, at Lee Hammacher, was that the guy that gave up the grand slam to Freddie Lynn in the 83 All-Star game?
Yes. A quick word on the origins of this.
I've got to hear that story.
Okay. Our good friend Platinum Smalls, who has done some other websites, he and I were talking on the phone the night of the All-Star game. You remember that Lincecum got banged around pretty good there.
Sure.
So the talk, he and I are talking on the phone, talk goes to past giant things. A couple giant pitchers have gotten roughed up in All-Star games, and everybody always remembers that. I was a little kid in front of the TV set with Fred Lynn, and he mentions to me about that Adley Hammacher was also on the 89 pennant-winning team. I said, was he still around then? So I pull it up. He goes, are you Googling Adley Hammacher right now? I said, yes, I am. I said, you know what? That'd be a hell of a website name. And it was born.
The Indians had a starter in the 83 All-Star game, actually.
That's right.
Manny Trio started at second base.
That's right.
One year in Cleveland.
Oddly enough, I was talking to him about that off air today. He mentioned it to the old man because he said, guess who the Indians had in 83? And I said, Sid Mangi? So I wasn't even close.
But that's great.
We got it covered live here. And he loves to throw in links as he's doing the coverage here too. So it's coming up on here. He's throwing in some examples of what you guys are doing with CavFanatic.com. I guess there's some photo galleries here as well, and it really is tremendous what's being done here. I would imagine too, I know that with smartphones, obviously to a certain extent, you don't have to worry about the wireless aspect of it, because some of it's going to carry over. You can access a lot of this, you know, just on your phones or whatever, but I'm sure there are other things that are being done to take advantage of that technology as well.
No doubt. And we're going to be really, the NBA controls a lot of our website and some of the apps that, you know, for the different phones, and those are going to be things that we're going to explore along with the league in the next probably, you know, 6 to 9 months. But getting back to what you said about some of the photo galleries with Cav Fanatic, you know, we actually had somebody shortly after the site launched post their wedding photos on there.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you, that is that level of engagement that I think every team hopes it has. And we're very fortunate that our fans are so engaged with the site. We actually also had one of our Cav Fanatics, and he has really become the poster child for Cav Fanatic. It's, mm-hmm. His alias on the site is the Juice Man.
Okay.
And he actually painted a garage door with the Witness logo and the Nike Ooh. Logo underneath it. So those are the kind of fun things that we've had our Fanatics do. But at the same time, we want to be able to provide value for the Fanatics as they come onto the site, because, you know, Fanatics want just a couple of things when they're on the site. They want a unique experience that nobody else can get, and they want a little recognition for their fandom. And by giving them the platform to really speak their mind, which is what Cav Fanatic does, it gives them the recognition for their fandom. But that unique experience, a unique opportunity, we've tried to weave our corporate partners in. We did a really fun promotion with Qdoba last year.
Okay.
On the one-year anniversary for Cav Fanatic, so May 14th of 2009, one of our corporate partners, Qdoba, wanted to reach out to Cav Fanatics. They're a relatively new brand for Northeast Ohio, only here a few years. Well, you know, while known nationally much more, but in the last couple of years they've been here. And Tom Gooding, who is the proprietor here, you know, we had a couple meetings with him and suggested, why don't we do a really great offer for our Cav Fanatics on Cav Fanatic Anniversary Day? And so he didn't disappoint us. He put an offer into the marketplace where any Cav Fanatic that wanted could get a free burrito at any of his 8 Qdoba locations. And so the result of that was 3,254 burrito coupons being redeemed in less than 12 hours.
Wow.
And so talk about something that can move the needle. So that really shows not just what we wanted to really provide for our fans, that unique opportunity, but at the same time, the way the fans are loyal to the brands that are surrounding the Cav Fanatic mark. So if the brands that are on there as a presenting partner or that are offering special opportunities for the Fanatics are the brands that seem to really be rewarded by that with that Fanatic loyalty.
Well, that is a great example of the two-way relationships, too. And, of course, that's what you've got to be looking for from your point of view here, you know, for the sponsors to get the bang for their buck, the fans, everything. An example, by the way, of the interactive nature of the live blog that Platinum Smalls has got going on here. I see this is actually mentioned by Ryan. Good job on this, Ryan. And you can get Cavs text alerts as well. Text Cavs, capital C and then AVS. 242287. So you guys are involved in a number of different ways in being able to disseminate information, analysis, and everything to your core fan base.
We have a marketing team that has really taken text messaging to the next level and in the way we communicate with our fans when an announcement is made by the team, mm-hmm. But also in the way that we can interact with the fans when they come to a game. We're going to have a lot more text to screen contests this year, or screen-to-text contest, than we've had ever before. You know, it might be a text promotion with DiGiorno Pizza. Okay. That's going to talk about an opportunity where we would be able to ask the fans in the bowl at the game a question with regard to the brand, and then that's going to shoot a text back, and a bounce back is going to be somebody's going to win free pizza for a year. The fans that enter but aren't deemed the winner are going to have an opportunity for a great deal from the brand that's available at Cavs.com. So they've really taken integrating that text message, that in-arena experience, back to the online experience with Cavs.com. So again, just, you know, you touched on texting a little bit, and these guys do it better than anybody else. I'm just in the very enviable position to be able to articulate to our corporate partners the efforts that take place at within our front office every day.
And I would imagine as time goes along, now that you have a track record with this, you've got Cav Fanatics that's going to be coming up on a year and a half of being online, your job must get easier as the days go by, as you have this tangible track record to point to.
Well, the job certainly isn't easier this month. As we're getting, we're less than 30 days away from the home opener and, mm-hmm. and the NBA opener on the 27th of October with the Celtics. But you know, from a standpoint of a track record, any time that you can show results to your fans or to your corporate partners, that's mm-hmm. an amazing opportunity for us to have. You know, in fact, when we acquired Shaq. Back in on July 1st, we noticed our Cav Fanatic profiles rose about 3,000 over the course of the next 30 days. Mm. We did a poll about the Shaq nickname, and in just a couple of days, had 430 unique suggestions for his name.
Wow.
But we had 30,000 voters vote on it when he pulled down the final two that mm-hmm. he wanted the fans to select from. So when we can talk about those kind of numbers and when we can show that kind of engagement with our fans and how they're really gravitating to the content that's online, then you're right. We have an amazing story to tell. It's just, you know, it's sales is like anything else. You've got to make a lot of phone calls. It's 10-3-1. 10 calls, the 3 appointments, mm-hmm. and 1 sale, you always hope at the end of the day.
Well, something like that. I need to ask you about Shaq because, again, you've got him coming in, one of the great signature players of the last two decades, probably equally important from your point of view, one of the most notorious players of the last two decades, a guy who really moves the dial in terms of interest, who really grabs people like few other figures in sports have over the last two decades. So were there any kind of special meetings that took place, anything like that, anything that happened after the signing, after it would be, or, well, the trade, actually, but after that became official, where you guys looked for any kind of special programs to put in place, or was it just a matter of kind of building out some of the things you were already doing?
You know, it's funny, when we acquired Shaq, it took me back to 1991 and sitting in my college dorm room watching the Diesel at LSU. Uh-huh. And it was amazing to see that this just great basketball player, as you pointed out, you know, one of the most amazing players of the last two decades, was now in a Cavaliers jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, there were certainly some internal meetings that took place. I know from an online standpoint, we wanted to really take advantage of the fact that Shaq has an amazing following in social network circles. Mm-hmm. And we consulted with some of the people that had done some work with him that had really, you know, he has 2.3 million followers on Twitter.
Wow.
Some people don't realize that. And he actually sends out tweets quite frequently and reaches out to different fans throughout, you know, the U.S. as to what, what he might be doing or where he is. And he actually, when he was in Phoenix last year, did some what they called random acts of Shaqness, mm-hmm. where he would be somewhere and he would send out a tweet. The first person that came up to him and tapped him on the shoulder could get a couple tickets to that night's game. Certainly, that's his agenda as to how he's going to do that in, mm-hmm. in Northeast Ohio. But, you know, he did something actually just the other day. His first and I noted this. I saw this on Facebook the other day with his Twitter team posted this on Facebook, was that he had his first random act of Shaqness in Cleveland.
Okay.
And that was reaching out to another Twitter person. I don't recall what the handle of that person was. But anyways, just reached out and said, hey, get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. So certainly I'm not in a position to know what at the end of the day what his Twitter strategy is. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that he's so deeply entrenched in social network circles is really going to be something that lifts our standing at Cav Fanatic. It's going to lift our standing really with the people that follow the Cavaliers on Twitter, the people that follow Cavaliers on Facebook. We have about 135,000 followers on Facebook. And talk about something that has revolutionized the way that you can reach out to your fans or reach out to your customer base. Facebook has done that in that, you know, some of these announcements that we've talked about, you know, relative to the tickets going on sale on Saturday for single game. Those are things that, you know, we posted on Facebook over the last couple of days. Just also reassuring our fans that, you know, the method for getting tickets to all Quicken Loans Arena events, that's, you know, theqarena.com. And that message is something that we've been able to project on Facebook, and we'll certainly project that on Twitter. So, you know, the social network has really made, you know, it kind of goes to maybe amplification of our message. And this was another topic that we talked a little bit about today. those two social network platforms, Twitter and Facebook, have allowed us to amplify the messages of our corporate partners online. So there, it's almost like, do you remember that old BASF commercial? Mm-hmm. We don't make the tape, we make it stronger.
Yes.
And the online in general, but specifically the way we're using Facebook and Twitter is, you know, they're not the message, they make the message more amplified.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good analogy, actually. And again, we just have another link that went up on the live blog on googlingatleehammaker.blogspot.com. There is a link that will take you to the Cavs Facebook page, so you can go check that out directly. And I think that
was an easy one for me to find, Rick, because I'm already following him.
Perfect.
I follow Shaq on Twitter, so I've seen exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, there's Shaq
Random acts of kindness.
On Twitter, also the other sports PR blog that discussed the Cavs social network earlier this year, sportsprblog.com. There's a link up to that specific story from Platinum Smalls. You know, again, we love talking all things, media and technology on this show. Some of the really fun segments we've had in the past have been when we've had the guys from Sports Business Journal on and gotten to discuss some of these things here. It really is a pleasure to kind of delve into what you guys are doing here with Cavs.com, CavFanatic.com. I would ask you, Mike Molesky, I mean, did we hit most of the things that you wanted to hit here tonight? Is there anything else that people should know about the initiatives that you guys have going on?
You know, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience and to talk to you guys. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we want our web properties, Cavs.com, CavFanatic.com, LakeErieMonsters.com, TheQArena.com, to have timely content, ones that the consumers can find and sift through very easily. We want our corporate partners to be well-positioned throughout those sites so that they can reach out efficiently to the consumers. And we see ourselves, at least on the business side, within the corporate partnership team that I'm part of, is really storytellers of commerce. And when you think about that message, storytellers of commerce, we're in a position where we can really talk about the great things that the small business owner in Northeast Ohio is doing, or that franchisee who has taken an opportunity to invest his savings in making Northeast Ohio a better place economically and to provide more goods and services to the consumers in Northeast Ohio. And so with great content and building an opportunity for our corporate partners to be positioned well around that, if we continue to do that, in my book, that's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that really goes back to the culture that we have at the team. And so we're very fortunate to be in that position.
Well, there really are some incredible cutting edge things that are happening here with this. And as I said previously, again, now, you know, we're a show that's nationally oriented and focused. There's not a lot that we do that's Cleveland oriented. We specifically wanted to cover what you guys were doing because, you know, I think it is one of the rare stories in the sports world of where a team is really getting behind this, making the most of the technology and everything like that. And again, it just happened to be a very nice accident of geography that you were close enough to be able to drive in for this, and we appreciate it. And Mike, we definitely would love to have you back on here sometime and continue to keep up with what you guys are doing with the various websites.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. And go Cavs, and don't forget single game seats on sale on Saturday.
All right, go Cavs. This is the year. I really said that last year, but I believe that again. We got Shaq. This is the year.